Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at moneysmarts, M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number for the letter U.com. Now, graduation is happening as we speak or has already happened. If you have a high school senior or a junior that soon may be a senior, then you want to set them up for financial success for their future. And this also applies to freshmen and sophomores because they could learn too. And if you don't think your college graduate has learned about money, you can help them also. Keep in mind, these basic activities can make a difference in their financial future. So what I'm going to go through today is also mentioned in my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, which is available on Amazon. It's available both for the Kindle reading app as well as in a paperback format. So your teen can read on the go if you'd like for them to learn more. So first of all, if your teen does not have a summer job, talk to them about getting one. Oftentimes kids are burned out. They may not want to do any work, but if they are anywhere from a freshman, sophomore, junior in high school, they really should be looking for a summer job just to learn about the relationship between work and money. I did chores around the house that I got paid for at my parents' house. I cleaned ashtrays. I vacuumed the floor. I learned how to take care of the swimming pool. I also learned how to do things like clean the toilets and mop the floor, things that I don't think my parents really wanted me to seek out as professional employment, but I did understand the concept of basically taking on a task and accomplishing it and then being paid for it. So when I was 14, I worked as a filing clerk in a doctor's office, and I basically did a lot of alphabetizing, and then I went on to become a bookkeeper in the summertime when people were taking their own vacations. And I learned a lot of things about how some people who have a lot of money don't pay their bills, and then there's sometimes people who have a minimal amount of money are really concerned about making sure their bills are paid. Nowadays, where everybody uses a credit card or a debit card to pay their bills, this doesn't come up so much. Most doctors make you sign your life away before they'll treat you, so there's really not that kind of problem in that kind of business. But there are businesses where that does come into play. So no matter what kind of job it is, your teen needs some kind of summer job. And whether they, mow lawns, or they help people do data entry for their computers, or they walk dogs, or whatever it is they might do, what they need to do is they need to understand about saving money and managing the money well. A lot of retail stores, at least in my neighborhood, are looking for help. A lot of new businesses are opening up, and they're looking for temporary help. And then, of course, if you live in a tourist area, oftentimes extra wait staff is taken on, and that is a really great opportunity. Being a wait staff person or a housekeeper, often those positions open up in the summer because they're in demand because there's more people coming in town. So, there's also lifeguards and maintenance staff. Some of those positions might be available at a swimming pool near you. But remind your teen to sit down and create a resume that shows off their best qualities. You need to brief them on the basics of how to meet people, how to introduce themselves to others, how to listen carefully, how to answer questions respectfully when they're inquiring about a job. You need to also teach them how to follow up on an application or request for an interview. Remind them that if they are in the image of the business, working, whether it's selling clothes, scooping ice cream, or fixing computers. Now, business. As I mentioned earlier, technology today is challenging for some of us, and you may want your, you know, your team may want to set up a business teaching people how to use their smartphone or how to enter phone numbers and emails into phone or computer, or even how to set up a newsletter website or Facebook account, or even teach someone how to do PowerPoint. Remember, grass still grows and lawns still need to be cut, cars still need to be washed, and dogs do need to be washed and walked. So oftentimes people would prefer to hire a neighborhood team than basically do the job themselves, or hire them and have a different person. Give your student as much encouragement as you can during this part of the process. The other thing you need to do is talk to your teen about saving money. Now, you know, when they get their first job, you need to explain to them that, yeah, they can probably spend the money on things they want, but what they may want to do is divide their money into thirds, with one-third going into savings, one-third going towards charity, and one-third going towards spending. Work with them in figuring out how much money that they're going to get each pay period. Remember that if their pay after deductions is $250 every 2 weeks, then that means they can save $83, spend $83, and give $83 to charity during each pay period. After a summer of 12 weeks, they'll have saved $498 and set aside that same amount for spending as well as for charity, assuming they haven't already given some away or spent it. Now, inspire your child to work towards saving $1,000, okay? And the reason that's such an important number is because it's a good number for people to work towards, nice round number, and because it's a number that can cover a multitude of problems in the future, like needing a new tire for the car, or having to get an oil change, or maybe emergency dental work, or something that might not be covered by insurance or some other financial coverage. If you show them that all they need to do over a year to save $1,000 is save $20 each week for 50 weeks, which is really $5 for 4 days out of the week, they will learn how to save. And if they can actually see the money going up in value in either a bank account or a savings account, that would be really even better. Now, the other possibility is you may just want your child to save half and reserve half for spending and then follow the 10% tithe concept for charity. In that case, if you have a $250 paycheck, you have $25 for charity, $112.50 for savings, and the same for spending. So over 12 weeks, there could be $675 accumulating in your child's savings just over the summer. Hopefully you've introduced them to the concept of giving to charity through contributions at your church, your mosque, or your synagogue, or through volunteer activities in the community if you do not give to religious institutions. Things like charity runs, working in an animal shelter, or holiday family donations are things that can teach your child about giving back to the community. And this is a concept that's really important in our world today because it provides an opportunity for young people to feel an empathy for others who are not as well off as themselves. Remember to talk to your student about avoiding debt. You know, credit card debt, probably at this point in their lives, maybe when they reach graduation from high school, certainly when they go to college, they'll be approached about applying for credit cards. For some reason, everybody wants to get everyone signed up for credit cards. I guess because the myth has been created and perpetuated by the various credit rating agencies that you need to have lots of credit in order to have a credit score. Well, personally, I think that the last thing you need is any kind of credit card until you have a job that allows you to regularly pay that credit card off every month. Now, some people may need to take on a car loan in order to be able to buy a car. Personally, I think it would be better if, you know, a $1,000 to $2,000 beater car could be purchased with some of the savings money from the summer job. First of all, you know, it gives people a sense of pride to own something, but also it means that there won't be payments that have to be made on a regular basis. The other reason that you want to avoid debt is if your child has to take on student loan debt in order to go to college, they need to get used to the idea of saving money, and they also need to get used to the idea that they will eventually have to pay off the loans. There's a lot of information about federally issued debt with income-related payback plans, which are described on the website studentloans.gov that your child and you probably need to read before your child enters their junior year in high school. Lots of pre-approved credit cards come during the college years. Please, 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 please do not encourage them to apply. They don't need to have a loan. They don't need to take out a student loan in order to rent an apartment while they're in college. The only thing that's worth borrowing money for is a degree that will result in them being able to make a living and to be able to then use that income from that job to pay off resulting debt. I mentioned the studentloans.gov website. The other website that you need to look at is mynextmove.org, which talks about earnings expected from different jobs and what majors can lead to those jobs. And I think that's really important. Many schools now are encouraging students to get multiple degrees, like a degree in English and maybe one in accounting at the same time, so that they can get a job as an accountant when they get out. Or the other possibility is to get a degree in English, but also to get a backup in education, so they can get a teaching certificate and move out into the workforce as a teacher until they figure out whether that's what they want to do with their lives or what they want to do next. Discuss with your child how much money is available for college expenses. In other words, have you put some money aside for college or have you not? Be honest with your child, because before the college applications go out and acceptances are received and a lot of excitement happens, your student needs to know if they can even afford to go to college or if they're going to need to be looking at community college to start with and then moving into a four-year university to get a four-year degree. Nowadays, many of the community colleges are offering excellent two-year programs that lead directly into employment. That for many students is a great way to go because they can go to work, they can get a job, they can save money, and then if they wish to return to school, whether it's at night or on weekends or even online, they can still keep working, still keep saving money, and at the same time not be in debt and have a job, which gives us all a feeling of satisfaction if we're able to do that. You do need to keep up with the different kinds of financial assistance your child receives and keep track of how much every year that they're taking, how much debt, if they do take it on, they're doing every year, and that they understand that, because a lot of times kids don't understand what debt is all about and what's involved in it. One of the things you also need to do during the summertime is help your child learn how to create a budget to live on during the summer months. Whether they're going off to college in August or they're working on, they're going to be going a year from now, they need to work on an expense plan or a budget for the months of June and July. And they need to incorporate some of the money they earn from their summer job, and then you could decide if you do or don't want to add a little bit of your own. Make it realistic. How much is room and board? Like, how much would you rent the room that they're living in or the food that they're eating? How much for entertainment? For clothes, makeup, grooming, food. What you need to decide if you're going to add to this budget is you need to cover the essentials that you would pay for out of pocket anyway, but make them go through the motion of paying you for those items you provide. Allow them to use their earnings for the extras, like eating out with friends, going to the movies, buying a new gadget they don't really need. When they get out of college, they will most likely be able to make about $25,000 a year and take home about $1,500 a month. When you send them off to school, calculate how much you're paying for room and board each month, and then figure out a little extra that in total does not exceed the $1,500 to $1,200 a month figure. If room and board amounts to about $1,000 per month, then you're already paying to the college, then allocate another $200 to $500 per month for them to have as extra spending money. Do not give them more than they need, because you will only set them up for failure later on in life. For your junior in high school, extend this budget exercise through their entire senior year in high school so they can really be practiced at how to manage their money. Let them make mistakes with their money before they leave home. Let them learn how to use a checking account and a debit card. Explain the difference to them between a debit card and a credit card. Show them how to balance their checkbook, how to read a monthly statement, and they also need to understand how to protect themselves against identity theft and fraud. They need to learn about how to use shredders for that purpose and how to check for their credit score. Also, set up a monthly meeting with them to discuss how they're spending their money and have them explain their statement and show that they know and understand how to balance their accounts. Do your best to not fuss at them or browbeat them when they make mistakes. No one is perfect, and what you want is for them to learn from their mistakes so they can make better decisions in the future. Remember, there's a possibility of senioritis and then freshman year. Okay, now, once your senior is in high school, they'll be glad to know where they're going to school in the fall, but it does not mean it's time to slack off on their studies. You need to remember this for your rising junior that's moving into senior year. Make sure they pace themselves during that senior year and they take healthy breaks during their studies. Praise them when they do well, provide regular meals, snacks, and outings with exercise, or change of location to give them the opportunity to relax and use their brains in a different way, leading them to better performance academically. When your student starts college, it'll be a totally different environment than they've ever been in before. Talk to your teen about things that they may encounter in their new environment: casual sex, drug use, alcohol use, and, unfortunately, sexual assault. And these things may be prevalent wherever your student goes to college. Before they leave your home to go away from college, if you can't work with them in a role-playing situation to help them figure out how to say no or how to ask for help, then talk to counselors at school to find someone who can help them with this very emotionally charged transition. If you can't bring up these topics, then look to other adults who can be important in your child's life, like aunts, uncles, ministers, coaches, and teachers, to see if they can help. There are many nonprofit organizations that offer help in these areas, such as Planned Parenthood, that has teen educators to help teens learn how to say no to sex. The Council for the Prevention of Alcoholism has programs. Boys and Girls Clubs and the YWCA and YMCA in your community also have programs that go over how to deal with these very charged topics. Whether your student is a straight-A student now or a C student, the environment may allow them to flourish or to founder once they get to college. Either way, remind them that they can do whatever they set their mind to and that they can be successful. Also remind them that when the graduation ceremony begins, C students are getting the same diplomas as A students get and are getting the same degrees. Many students who are first in their families to attend college have a difficult time with failure and working through it. There are special programs at many universities that are dedicated to this group of first-generation students. Your student needs to know you will love them and care for them, whether they have an A average or a C average, and that they should not give up when they have a failure or two, but that they need to dust themselves off and pull themselves up and accept failure as a part of life, but one that they can overcome if they ask for help that they need and then move on with their lives and succeed. If you need more information about what to do with your teen or how to help them set up a budget or the basics financials, please take a look at my book. It's on Amazon, and I really, really think that every teen needs to go into college knowing how to manage money and how to take care of themselves. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com, and we'll cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.